Ready Player One is a sci-fi novel that takes place 20 years in the future, 2045, in which the world has been overtaken by a computer program called the Oasis. The Oasis is a virtual reality in which people put on goggles and like a full body suit, and then they run on treadmills and stuff so that everything they do in the real world is characterized by what they do in the virtual world. They grab for something, they grab it. If they run, they run. If they fight, they fight. Everything happens in the Oasis. And it becomes the standard of society. The world is so horrible that the only way people deal with it is by going into the Oasis. But everything's there. Kids go to school in the Oasis. They go and they go shopping in the Oasis. They go and do battles and fight things and explore the universe and go to dances and meet people, all in the Oasis. Everything happens there, even currency. The challenge is, as becomes one of the main premises of the book, is that the Oasis gives people the freedom to be whatever they want. And they're encouraged to take on a fake name and a fake identity, so no one can tell who they are. So you could be anything from a human with whatever features you want, to a mythical creature, to a robot, to a monster. Whatever you want is possible, and whatever name you want is part of it. These novels are not unheard of. There's lots of them that bring the same theme out, that we want to escape our reality and become whatever we want. And if you think I'm being silly about this, I want you to think about it for a moment. How often do we want to escape our reality? How often would we like to change the way we are so we can be whatever we want? Regardless of whether we may want to say no, the reality is we'd all want to say yes. We all want to try and be something different, which is why these books and movies captivate our imagination. However, I want to focus on something different. And to do so, I want to ask you a question. Who are you? Think about it for a moment. Think deeply about it. Who are you? My guess is if you're thinking about this deeply, you'll come up with a couple different possible answers. One, might you list all the possibilities of who you are, the different attributes you have. Maybe they're physical. You're thinking about yourself as a physical being. I have this kind of hair color, all these different attributes. Some of you may have thought about characteristics like talents. This is what I can do. These are the skills I have. This is the things I like to do. Some of you might be thinking about it negatively. Oh, these are all the problems I have, all the issues I have, all the things I don't like. But I bet you, almost no one here has thought about yourself in relation to God. How does God see you? Which is a great challenge for us. Because, just like Ready Player One, most of us do want to escape the problems we have, or the issues in our lives, or the challenges we face. And the reality is, if we were to understand who we truly are, we would never want to. It's beautiful, it's wonderful, it's incredible who we are. And that's where I want to focus. I want to guide you to realize what God has made you to be. We're going to start from the beginning. God made us who we are. He formed us. He created us. And he didn't just be like, ta-da, I needed humans, here they are, yay. It's not like the Babylonians and Sumerians who just figured out, hey, we need something to serve the gods. No, we were created out of love. God loved us into being. That's who we are. That's the core of who we are. And not only that, we were created out of love for love. Our whole desire is to love. That's who we are. And to love fully and freely. That's the challenge we face. That so often we want to escape this because by escaping it and being whatever we want, it means we have the freedom to do whatever we want, which never leads to goodness. It always leaves us hollow, leaves us wanting more. Leaves us always trying to fight to make our identity whatever we want it to be. Instead of taking a moment to realize we already have an identity. We are God's children. We are his beloved. We are the ones who are loved into existence and challenged to love in response. That being said, there's more to it than that. As Isaiah said so beautifully today in our first reading, when the rains come down, they have a purpose. They come to water the earth. They don't go back up until they have watered the earth. God does things for a purpose. He made us for a purpose too. Each and every one of us has a unique and individual purpose. And it's not about once and done kind of thing, like I figured it out and I got it. Every moment of our lives has this purpose. We have something through which we were made. God in his wisdom made each and every one of us so individualistic that if we understood our purpose, the reason why we're made, the meaning that already is in our lives, then we would live it with great joy. We'd have a great sense of peace and well-being. We'd have a freedom to just be ourselves. without care of what everyone else thinks. This is the joy of coming to know what God has done for us, that He has made us. We, however, are not like rain. We can choose against that purpose. We can choose to do whatever we want, which will always lead to anxiety and frustration. In light of this, there's two things I do want to focus on, one I already focused on, and that was we were created out of love and for love. Our greatest joy is when we can love each other, freely give ourselves to each other. That's what we're made for. And ideally, the greatest joy we have is to know what it means to fully love God. The challenge is we don't like this because it means we have to give ourselves. We have to do more, and we don't feel the love we want. We always turn inwards and want to feel loved as opposed to give love. And that happens most strongly in things like envy, jealousy, anger, lack of forgiveness, frustration. All these things destroy that very sense of who we are. They hurt our identity because we cannot love. We've chosen not to. So in the midst of unforgiveness and envy and jealousy, forgive. When we're bitter or frustrated or anxious, love. Choose to trust in God and let Him be in our lives. This is the challenge we have. If we want to fully love, we must decide to do so. We must choose it as a function of who we are, not as something that's going to be hard and difficult. We have to learn it. It's already there, intrinsic to who we are. The second part of it is, and we often like to dismiss this idea, we were made to worship. We are. We like worshiping. We like and desire to have something above us. We like something that orders our life, that gives meaning and purpose to it, that guides us through this life that we can do something more. Let me give an example of what I mean. A year ago, I was visiting a friend, and I went to his gym with him. And it dawned on me as I was entering the gym that a lot of people see gym as a religion. Why? You get a membership. I know my identity. I'm a member of that gym. I have a routine. I go and do these kind of workouts each and every day. I have a friend group that supports me as I'm working towards a goal, a way of understanding myself. In the same way, they have classes and meetings and parties and things, so you feel connected with the people there. It has every element we see in a normal church, but in a gym, because that is the desire of modern day economics, to make you feel connected to an organization so that you will take the place of what we want, which is worship. Same thing works with so many other things. Look at franchises. If you ever have a favorite brand, same concept. We like that brand so much, it orders our life. It gives meaning to it because we're supporting the organization we like. Same thing is with modern ideologies. So many times, if you look across the ideologies of the world, they're all ordered in the same way. This is where I want to give my life, for this cause, for this event, for this thing, because I have a purpose, I have meaning because of this ideology, because of this goal. It's all the same thing. We want something to worship. Yet, they will always leave us empty, unfulfilled, because it never fulfills us the way we want. The only way we can truly be fulfilled in our desire to worship is God alone. And it's the hardest one, because although it's who we are, we have to figure out what that means and what it means to give ourselves to God Himself. It's easier when we can see it as a gym or a slogan or something. It's different when it's here. So this is our challenge. Our challenge is to come to know ourselves as we are, not what we want to be, not what we think we are, but to listen to God as He speaks to us and tells us something even more profound. We are made in love. We were made to love. We were made with a purpose. There's already meaning to our lives. Our lives are ordered to the worship of God, which brings us our greatest joy. We should not circumvent that. We should accept it, enjoy it, find joy in it. The challenge, like today's parable, we can be like the seeds scattered on the path or the thorns or the dirt, dry dirt, and yield nothing and leave our lives all destitute, barren, without fruit. Or realize that there's rich soil. God has made us that way, and we can bear great fruit and live in great joy.